Kumlera Black Yamura, Rav of Zion, Omer Aleph, Sechta Chulin. We are up to, the last thing he did was Babay Shon, that's not Parvet Yisrael, and we're up to now, Mai Behemten Shal Tzadikim, about 15 lines from the bottom of the page.
15 lines, could be 25.
No, your fingers go down, from the bottom of the page.
Towards the end of here.
First of the line is the left.
7A1, the last line. 7A1,
the last line. First of the line, last line is Pinchas.
7A1, here, Harvey.
18 lines from the bottom, okay.
Pinchas? Oh, yeah.
Pinchas. We quoted a few times that the behemoth of Pinchas ben Yoyed didn't commit a sin. Surely tzaddikim don't commit a sin inadvertently when it comes to eating. My behemoth shall tzaddikim the Pinchas ben Yoyed. What is this story about Pinchas ben Yoyed? And how we cause the opinion shvuyim that once, what's happening? Was going on this trip to be paid as some captives, Jewish captives. Poga Bay, he came across Beginoi Nahara, he came across a river called Ginoi. Amale Ginoi, he said to the river, Chaloikli Meimecha, divide your waters, split your waters. The Eberbach, so I can cross and perform my mitzvah. Amale Atahilech Lazat Tzankainech, you're doing your mitzvah, Vani Ohilech Lazat Tzankainech, I'm doing my mitzvah. Ata Safik Oisa Safik Ata, your pursuit of your mitzvah, will you be successful? We're not sure yet. Till you get there and see whether you can bargain or negotiate to free your captives. Ani, and raise your money. Ani, Vadai Oisa, I, my job is to flow, and that's, I'm doing exactly what Hashem wants. Therefore, I am not going to part my waters for you. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehoshua said, what are you talking about? my mitzvah comes with bchira, so therefore my mitzvah is worth a lot more. Im iato chayle gazrani alech. If you don't part your waters, I will decree shlo yavru b'chom mayim loelam. I'll make sure that you dry up, and won't be any more water there whatsoever. Cholakle, he then split. Havehu gavre, there was a person that was going with him. There was another person there. Not going with him. He's also doing a mitzvah, but he was doing the hachana mitzvah. He was bringing the wheat for Pesach, and of course, if it gets wet, he cannot use it anymore for matzah. I want you to part your waters for this guy as well. The mitzvah osig is doing a mitzvah because you have to watch, you know, the machlekes from your grind or from when you harvest, and we can't get it wet.
What would be Pesach if all the wheat got wet and you couldn't use anything, no matches for Pesach? What would happen then?
Abe would have a problem, wouldn't he? Have Hutaye, there was another person there. There's another person there, some person who was just doing his cheder, a peddler, the lover Badaye that was walking with them. And of course, Rashi wasn't even a Yid. He's up here, he said to the water, park your waters for this guy as well. We don't want him to go around saying that that's what you didn't do to people they escort. They don't take care of them. They all cross safely and they're leaving behind. Chalukle said the water split a third time. Rabbi Yosef said, unbelievable. Kama nofish gavra me Moshe. Look how much greater the Pichas ben Yoy is than Moshe Rabbeinu. Why, Vishishin and Shishin Avin, the 600,000 people that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Nechem Kibbet, Yilahasam, over there by the Yamsuv, Chadzim, split only once. Hoch here, Tlosa Zimrin, on three different occasions, the water parted.
They couldn't all go across in one time.
Sorry?
They couldn't all go across in one time.
Oh, and we'll answer, even cause the way the Gemara tells us, relates the story, it sounds like he kept on saying, Chalogbach, Chalogbach.
Right.
Sounds like three occasions. But Dima Hoch and Ami Chadazim, it was all in one go, it was all in one time. He just told the water, don't go back here, because stay open. Ella, okay, you're right. He's not greater than Moshe, but at least he's equal. Kim Moshe, but she said, Avin is equal to Moshe and the 600,000 people. Taisa is saying when he had his discussion with the river, he was talking to the malach of the river. Every river has a malach. Or this is what's going through the thoughts of Rav Pinchas. He was being an advocate for the river and for himself. Ikla lahu shpizi came to this hotel, Rumble, they said.
He spoke. Yeah, he didn't even have to do a pe'ula.
Yeah.
Here they spoke. Where shall I be able to kind of do a gashmus to pe'ula for it to happen?
Yeah.
To speak.
I mean, it's not the same as hitting it.
It's dibble. It's only dibble. It's like a
terrible. We have a machlekes of dibble is considered a mice or not. Ella, Ikla, who's Pisa Romale, they gave Sadel Chame, they gave barley for his donkey, he's loyal, he refused to eat. Tinu, they thought the problem was maybe had too many big pieces there, so therefore they put it through a sieve. Lo yachol, refused to eat it. Nakrinu, they then went ahead physically and they took out manually all the pebbles and still. Lo yachol. Amalu, he said to them, Dilma, perhaps, loy ma'asin asinu. So loy ma'asin, maybe you didn't give ma'asin. That's the problem here. Asinu v'ochol, gave ma'asin, they ate. So you see here how special his animals were. This over here donkey is going to do what it has to, whatever his master's wishes are. And you're feeding it tevil. You got to give it food. My donkey is very particular. If you give food that you took ma'isa from. So the mother goes on. Before she would have a hard time chumash because the whole ma'isa d'Avram. That he said that his animals were muzzled, they shouldn't steal. And here in Pichah Meir, the animals were trained that they shouldn't even eat something which wasn't given ma'isa from.
What anyway, does the first story have to do with
Behemoth Tzadikim? We're telling the story with Behemoth Shal Tzadikim, but you see, the first story is to tell you who the Pichah Meir was.
Okay.
Yeah, what kind of great man he was. Now we're telling you about his animals. So we prove that he's a Tzadik. And now we're saying the Behemoth Shal Tzadikim.
We'll also know Takola.
Sorry?
Also know Takola for the Behemoth.
Yeah. Tell you what I mean, Mechaiva. Are you going to tell me that about Pi Halacha, the behemoth, the food that you feed an animal that you buy, which is, you know, remember, you bought it from Amma Otis. We're talking about Demai here. So we're talking about how Machma the animals were. They wouldn't even eat Demai. Someone has a question. Is there a situation of Demai that you have to eat Machma, even the animals also? If you buy from Amma Otis, you have to give Maisa before you feed it to the animals? In other words, okay, you have to give ma'isa to feed the animals, but whereas the ma'isa is only a suffix, and it's a shvacha suffix, when most people give ma'isa, what if you machmer for an animal? Says Gemara, but now let me learn. If you buy lezeda, if you're buying from an amoritz to use for seeds, or the behemoth to feed an animal, or kamach flour leiders, you want to fly to tan your hides, or shemen oil for a candle, the shemen lassabai is a kalim or oil to use for a kalim. Potter with my, says clearly you potter with my. So what do you tell me that his behemoths we didn't want to eat? Gemara said, "Hasam over there, how eat? Didn't be learned." Amar Rabbi Yechav Yechon said, "Lo yishanu. When do we say that your potter, if you give it the animal, shalokhan mitchila behemah, you purchased from the amoritz, and you had a mind for the animal, so but ma, you don't have to worry about it. Avol lokhan mitchila la'adam, but if you bought it for your own consumption, then v'nim lechalin behemah. Once you bought it for your own consumption, there's a chalois of the ma, and then even though you change your mind, now you want to feed it to your animal, chayiv la'asa, you have to give ma'ase." Still to get ma'isik. But Tanya, we learned halakeach peidus min hashuk. If you buy fruits in the marketplace, lachila to eat. V'nim lachalein behem mado. You don't give life in the bank. Life in the behem chaveri. Halakeach less. Isi gave ma'isik. So when do you have to give ma'isik if you bought it for yourself? And same thing here. All of these tvua that they had here, they took it from Pichah B'yoyin, and afterwards later they changed it and gave it to the animal. That's why the animals were so strict. Taisa brings it to Shami. It says here that the animals were a big machmirim. But even though Pihalacha, maybe they didn't have to, but the animals, it's not only were they frum, they were big machmirim, they were charedi.
I'm not going to ask how the animals knew.
So obviously it's not that the animals knew, it's because of Pichas ben Yoyer, it's his animals, so in his chus, or in his, this is what we're saying, Mehem Shad Tzadikim, it's because of the tzadik that the animals wouldn't eat these things as well. It's like the heat protected, the animals protected. So you were right, and we had the story there. So what happened was the Pichah B'Yoyer was going through. Shama Rebbe heard that the Pichah B'Yoyer was traveling through the city. Nothing lap, he went out to greet him. Amalei, Rebbe said to him, Ritzoncha, if you want, please, I would love to join me for a meal. Amalei, he said, Hein, the Pichah B'Yoyer, who never eats out, said, I will. So upon Rebbe's face lit up, came radiant. Amalei, he said to him, "Kimadum ato shemudra no misrael," and you thought. So Pichah B'Yoyer was a bit stunned. He said, "You thought that I had made a neder, some kind of neder, I'll never eat by anybody. That's not exactly what happened. You know why I don't eat by people's houses? Because Yisrael kedoshim. The Jews are holy people, but you have different categories of Yidden. There are holy people, different categories of Yidden. Yes, right. That those who would like to give tzedakah, those who like to have achnas zarchim, but anyway, they pasha don't have any money." And therefore, it's embarrassing to, you know, to if you take an invitation and they want to do it and they can't. The yesh, there are those yesh that have money, and they offer you, but they really don't want it. They were hoping that you say no. See, if it says in the Feresh Pasuk, "Al tilchem es lechem la'oyin," do not eat bread, partake root of somebody who's a miser. Val tisav, you shouldn't want to desire lamata voisav to his geshmaki things. Ki kemoishar benafshei kain hu, because like it's like gets him angry and is upset by him. That's how he is. Achav v'shtei yemloch. He tells you, go ahead and eat and drink. Achayel v'shtei, but v'liba balimach, his heart is not there. He doesn't want you. Taser already asks, so why is it called kedoshim? If a guy has money and doesn't want to give it out, why do you call him kedoshim?
Maybe the guy be kashrus.
You're talking about why he's not eating people's houses. Is that mention kashrus?
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, he's not called kashrus. No, Taser says the reason why you call kedoshim is because at the end of the day, they're inviting the guest. they're doing it out of shame. They're doing it because they have no breda. But the fact that they're doing a mitzvah, and that in itself makes them kedoshim. Even if they don't have the right intentions in mind, they're not doing it because they're generous. They're doing it because they're embarrassed for everybody else. So Taisa, that is kedushim. Look at Taisa, good Taisa to remember. Yesher, Yesh Levin Reitzah. But Filo Hachi Ikur Kedushim, the Kol Kedushim. Shemazmin as Chaveri Lechel Etzlem Ifnei Boish. The fact is, he invited his friend out of shame, but he invited him. Says that Pichmi Yaris. What are you trying to say? So Ba'ato Reitzah. Maybe Moshe, you have voted as well. What? By Shonim, that's right. We just haven't told you. But Ato Reitze, you want the Yeshlach. You're from the few people that wanted that generally would like to do Achlas Zorchim, and money's not an issue here. So I have a problem. So it's not because I made a net that I won't go to people's houses. It turned out to be I never went because I don't know which category they fit in. But you, one person I know for sure that you don't fit into either category, so I'm happy to come to your house. However, Hashtem Misar Hivna. The mitzvah, right now I'm in a rush because I'm going a mitzvah. I'm trying to liberate these people, the shvuyim. Ki hadarna, when I'll return, I see that line. I lean the gabach. I will come and I will go to you. Nope. Ki asa, and he came back. He said, "Ame." He happened to be. He went through a different door. He didn't go through the regular door. He said, "Ame." He came back. All he went through bahu pischa that door. Davikaimbe could nightzeh chivart. He went through the stables. Somehow he went around to the back door through the stables, and there he saw these white donkeys. Omar, he shouted, Malach HaMov is Bebeisha Shalzeh. Because the white donkeys are supposed to be very dangerous. If they harm somebody, they can really harm somebody. The Malach HaMov is here. Vani Eses, I'm eating a house that has a Malach HaMov in the house that can cause harm to people. Shama Rebbe, Rebbe heard the screaming. Nofeg Lapi went out to greet him. Amalem is Vavinalu, I'll sell them all. Amalem is how can you sell them to a Yid? The next Yid will have the same problem. They have these white donkeys. Michshel, so he said, "No, Mafkanalu, I will make it hefker. So it's no longer mine." Where are we? So Rabbi Leo said, "Well, what does that help? Mafshesh is the hezeka. Since there's no owner there. Who's going to take care of them? For sure, there'll be a threat to the public, a menace to the public. A kanalu, he said, I will remove their hooves so they won't be able to kick anybody and hurt anybody." So, and it's still usable. They can still go. They can still be used for threshing and all that. Says Elionovi, even though you're doing it for good reasons, still not ideal. So he said to him, "Katlilu, I'll kill them." Then you just waste killed animal for no reason. Have come Rebbe was insisting, "Please come in and be my guest." Suddenly, Gova Tura Benayu, a mountain grew out of nowhere between them. So that he can no longer bother the Piches Milyoy. The Piches Milyoy made, Taka did make a promise, or at least his minig was never to eat anybody's house, and therefore he was preserved, that was preserved, that he didn't have to eat anybody's house, including Rebbe. Bocha Rebbe started crying, and he said, Ma bechayeyen, madach, the tzaddik when he's alive. Look what kind of great tzaddik is. Kach b'misasa na'achas kama b'kama. So surely when a tzaddik passes away, it's much greater, because we know that a tzaddik is greater after he passes away more than while they're alive. What do you mean? The Amar Rav Chama Bar Chanina, Gedoylim, Rav Chama Bar Chanina said, Gedoylim tzaddikim b'misas, and a tzaddik after he passed away is greater, Yosef b'chayim, than when he was alive. And how do we know that? From Elisha. Shneimer, it says, when Elisha was mechayim esim, that a child, he had to lie down on top of him. There's a lot of work involved before he was mechayim esim. However, when what happened was, it said the pasuk, "Vahim kaivim yish," to a group of Eden going to try to bury somebody. It turned out to be a Russia. They saw this army, a group of a battalion coming their way. They dumped the body in the cave. It turned out to be Elisha's cave. And it was exposed. And that body rolled over and touched the bones of Elisha. And immediately, because he's a Russian, we don't want a Russian next to him. He came alive. And he walked out on his feet. So we see when Elisha was alive and he wanted him, he had to put all his effort in. When, after he passed away, just touching him, already the Russia came back to life. Maybe the reason why he was able to make the person alive is from the bracha liyo, which happened while he was alive. So it's considered like a bracha of life. The chassid it says, he says to him that I will bless you, you'll be twice as much as me. Liyo's mechayim meisim one, and Elisha twice. A Malay, and takes the ass on Ashi, I don't understand the way we just learned Pshat. But so what if Elio gave a bracha? But the fact is, after he passed away, all you do is touch him. When he was alive, he had to go on top of him. So Taisa therefore learned the Pshat is that no, when a tzaddik is alive, you have Rishayim can sit next to him, nothing happens. They can trip him, nothing happens. When a tzaddik passes away, if a Rosha even gets close to him, suddenly he comes back to life. So we see the kedusha of a tzaddik after he passes away is greater than the kedusha of a tzaddik when he is alive. Right? So he said to him, if this was the bracha liyo, you know what happened to this person? He came to life, he walked a little bit away from Elisha, and then he just fell down again in a heap and he passed away. Never came home. So how did Elisha Mekayim the second the promise of Mekayim to two people? He cured Naaman from his leprosy. And curing Naaman from his leprosy, that already is considered Mekayim Esim. Why? She's called a Kemesh. Number says, by Miriam, Altihino Kemesh. Shouldn't be not Kemesh, don't be Mekayim. Why are the donkeys called Yemim? A Mosam would tell us. Why are the donkeys called Yemim? Because their fear, they instill fear on all the people. From the word fear, from emo, fachad. What the doctor said, it never happened. Of a white donkey, lived. So the Gemara, plenty of people were hit by the foot of a white donkey, and they survived. Ema the chayis and was cured. There's always limping. There's always a problem there. Well, because in the Mitsubishi Takade, I do get cured. Rebbe had in the house, obviously, Rebbe held that they could be controlled, they could be domesticated.
But until the Pinchas Minyan told him, he didn't realize that they're dangerous.
I'm going to give you a call. Okay. Rebbe knew the dangers, but he felt that they could be domesticated. No, because I'm with you. I want you to come visit me. But he had it. So he had it passionate because he held it can be domesticated. They're not, you know, you can control them. So the Gemara, we see that they were white donkeys, and people still get cured if they get kicked by a white donkey. The chivrin reish karayu, they're white, either white all the way down till their knees, all the way down. Over the whole entire animal is white to the very tip of their toes. That's one way of learning it. Or the Ben Yeshua learns the animal itself is black, totally black. It's only the tips of the feet that are white. That those are the real dangerous ones. There's nothing beside the Eibishter. Nobody can rule this world outside the Eibishter. Even a kishivmacher who can really do magic in those days, nevertheless, they cannot achieve anything or hurt harm anybody unless the Eibishter agreed. Aita, there's a woman that became a hadra. She was going out of her way, the mishkal afara, to try to collect sand, metuse, kare, b'chanina, under the feet of b'chanina. See, we had a few places that dirt is a medium that the machshefers used to use, and they wanted to control people. They said, get the dirt that underneath their feet. So she tried to collect quietly, surreptitiously, the dirt under b'chanina's feet. Amale, he caught her. He said to her, shkule, take as much as you want. Lo yistayim ilsa, the gunish helfen. It's not going to help. Ain't oid milvadik siv. You know where you can harm me unless the Eibishter wants you to harm me. So you're wasting your time. What do you mean? Rabbi Yechiv said, "Lamanikishmak shafim." The word, what's the mocker of the word shafim? Shemachish and pemayi shemayla. They contradict or they deny the existence of the Eibishter. Shani Rabchinin, Rabchinin is different. That the nefishes chusay. You're right. See something you want to hear that kishemachis can make things against what the Eibishter wanted, but not against Abchanina, because he had a lot of chusim. That's what it seems to the Gemara right here. Other members of Chanina, ain adam noikif etzboil mata. You don't even prick a finger down here. Nothing happens down here unless the Eibishter wants it. Everything is rocha pratis. Nothing happens here at all without the Eibishter. And it says, mahavaya mitzade gover kananu. From the Eibishter, your footsteps of a person is prepared to set. And the adam a person, mayavin darke. What do you understand about your way, your journey? Eibishter leads you everywhere. If you have a punctured finger and a little bit of blood, meratze, and that blood is coming out, it's an atonement as if you brought a carbon oile and you sprinkle the blood on the mizbech. It's very painful. We're talking about goydul yamin, we're talking about your right toe. Uvenikov sheni, not the first time you hit against something, but the second time. You were going to do a mitzvah, and we have a rule that shayma mitzvah yedera. And yet, not only once, but a second time, it's a simen malmaila that this is a kapara for whatever it is that you did.
The Eibishter leads you, and you don't go yourself. Not everything is determined.
Yeah.
If you walk into a tumah instead of a shul, the Eibishter doesn't want
to. You have bchira. Yeah, that's because the mitzvah of Eilis, you have choice. You have choices. Talk about in life. Okay, so you're going to a bar mitzvah and it's a second time and it's painful. Then in his lifetime, he never ate from bread that wasn't his. From the day that he was mature, the reason why he didn't eat from other people is because saying the matana sikh and all that. But why didn't he eat from his father when his father has a mitzvah of giving him or taking care of him? I don't know. Why not from his own father? Now, beyond that, it's tzedakah. Beyond that, is Asher is tzedakah b'chol eis. Yeah, and we learned. So, it's all that there's a hierarchy.
If your son doesn't need it, still doing
stocky
because he's so far.
No, okay, no, but it seemed like he had a policy not to eat. Yema Omer al Daita means what? Bar mitzvah, whatever, he was mature. He stopped eating in his father's house. What about Kivir Avayim? Maybe the father gets a pleasure of feeding his children. And you deny that.
They're basically saying it's
so much. Yeah, but why an Aviv? Why do you apply an Aviv? Doesn't that hamper in a way? But keep it off. But the parents get a special nachas to be able to give the kids something, and you're denying them that. Isn't that a
father, keep it up,
different nachas?
True.
Then I write it. I'm Rav Zeid Amishmol. Rav Zeid Amishmol. Liben, now going back to Lulchulim. Liben Sakin, you made a knife very hot. And then v'shochad bo, and then you went ahead and you shechted it. Now remember, shechita has to be purely from the incision of the knife, no other things. The question is, shechitasek sheda, is the heat causing that the rupture in the jugular vein of the trachea, or is it the sharpness of the knife? We say that the knife cuts it before the heat has an impact. What? Why chidud kaidim l'lebuna? That the cutting is before the heat. I think more of a ikets dodin. What about the sides of the knife? In other words, as you're cutting through the vein, the sides of the knife are touching it, and now they're making holes in it. So the din is that we had with the veshet, and the esophagus, the smallest puncture, makes it possible. So before you finish the shchita, it became possible. Says the Gemara, beis ha-shchita mirvach ravach. What happens is, as you cut with the knife, it opens very wide. So the sides of the knife do not touch the esophagus at all, or the trachea. Iboil, we have a question. What about Lieben Spur? We have a question. What about if you took, not a knife, but you took a spit, so it's thicker, and you heat it up, and then vihikibo, you hit somebody with it, and you caused that they should now get leprosy. You can get leprosy from heat. Now, it can be the heat from smacking someone with a blade, with a knife, and it could be the heat from the heat, literally the heat. And the difference is one is shchin, and one is michve. Shchin is the knife. When you smack somebody, it causes heat, and that is, if it causes leprosy, that's shchin. But if it's real heat from a fire, that causes micha. So which one is it?
Well,
the Tater talks about saras the out of the blue. Here we have a reason for it. He hits somebody. There is saras. Leprosy is a natural phenomenon.
Okay, so technically a doctor can find out what is it that I can do to get rid of saras. What things is there wrong in the body? And I'll
maybe, yeah. So here we're talking about saras that was man-made. Not spontaneous. Easy question. Was he hit by the shpud? Or was he burnt? And therefore it's michva. Says more than mine. Afkamina. What's the difference? Look at the Tanya. We learned shchin. What's the chiluk of shchin and michve? They're both tzaras. So we learned shchin and michve. Both of them have something in common. Different than other tzaras and metamin b'shvua echad. The din is by normal tzaras. You lock you up for a week, and if it spreads, then we declare that you're a tummy muchlet. If it doesn't spread, we lock you up a second week. If it stays the same, unless it gets reduced. But in this, if you have shchin and michve, if it doesn't spread, you go home. And over there, but if it does spread, or b'shnei simanim, when do we declare that you're definitely a tzaras? There's two signs by shechina mikva. One is sar lovan, if you have two white hairs. And the other one is a pissin, if it spreads. If it spreads or two white hairs appear, then you're locked up. If it stays the same, you go home. So why does the Tanya talk about them as two separate dinim when in fact they have the same law? They don't combine. So don't combine. You cannot take a half. You have to the shear for tzaras is a gris, a half a bean, an Egyptian bean. You don't take a half of a shchin and half a mikveh and combine the two together. It says the Gemara of Etan, we learned eizah shchin veizah mikveh. What's the difference shchin and mikveh? Lokach be'etz. You took a piece of wood and you hit yourself or something like that. or be'evin, you hit yourself with a stone. Even though there might not be a wood wound, it causes heat and that generated a tzaras. All of these are called shchin. But gefes, or let's say the remnants of there's a pile there of olive residue, and you put your hand there, it's very hot from itself. Or bechame tveria, or from the hot springs of tveria. These are all hot, but not from the fire. B'chol davar shleibah machmir, or anything that comes from fire. Lasuya aber mekorei to include, let's say, lead from mining, it comes out hot. Zeh shchin. All these are categorized as shchin. Eizo mich. What's a michve? Nichve begachelas. You were burnt by a coal. Or beremetz, or with ashes, which is very hot. Or besid, with a lime, or reseach, or begafsi reseach, another kind that's very hot. Or b'chol dover b'machzor, anything that comes directly from fire, lasu yicham me'ur, there's something hot, water or something from a fire, zui mir, that's called michya. Okay, that's michya. Now, we're leading to our question. The Tanya, we learned, shchin and michya, let's say you got in succession, two of these hot things, im shchin koydin lemichveh. It first came shchin. You were hit by a piece of, let's say, a wood or a rock. So you got shchin, and then you were hit by. Then you gave something hot from a fire. Batel michveh is a shchin. Whatever comes second cancels the first. So now it's all michveh. So what happens? Like Rashi explained, what happened? You had a half a gris of shchin, and then you had a michveh, and then you had another half a gris of shchin. The pashas, the two halves of shchin, will combine to have a full gris, and now you're metzeda. But because in between you had a michveh, the michveh canceled the first half, which is shchin. So what do you have now? You have as if you have a full thing of whatever. You have only gris. Sorry, you only have michveh, and now when you bring in the shchin, it doesn't combine with anything. It's less than the shear. The michveh kaidem shchin, and if michveh first, batel shchin is michveh. Now our question is regarding the spit. Hey, chidami. So you hit somebody with a hot boiling spit. What is it? Is it the sharpness of the actual metal that's shchin, or is it the heat and that's michveh? For example, this is our question. Let's say you already had a half a gris on your body beforehand. And then the Liban Shpud, then you went ahead, you took this spit, and you heated it up, the Hikabai, and you hit him. So it's a big difference what came first and what came second. The Nofik Bay, Chatzi Gris Ach, another half of it came out. My, what do we say? When you hit with the Shpud, do we say that you hit him first, so that's caused Shchin? And then the heat is Mikveh. So if it caused Shchin, and you already had You had okay. My, you would say chabot kodim. The first thing that happened was you had the shchin. So now the shchin that you had a half a glitz before and this shchin here now combine and you're a mitzayda. Sorry. If you had, you already had shchin. Then you had it hit you with the shchin. Right away came this mikveh. If the mikveh, the heat came afterwards, it canceled right away the shchin. What do you have left now? A half a glitz of shchin. And the second thing was mikveh. So there's nothing here to make you mitzayda. They don't combine. Oydilma, perhaps. Havala kodim. The first thing when you take this hatch, put hit you, it's the heat. Came along the hit and cancelled it. So now the second thing, the last thing was the wound that he hit with the akrushpud that cancels the mikveh. So now you had a half a gizah shchin in the beginning and you have a half a gizah shchin now. So which one is it? Toshma the Gemara concludes. Amar Abzeidam Shmuel, libein sakin. You heated up a knife. Bishachadba. You heated up a knife and you shechted with it. Shchitosek. This is where on top of the page. Shchit is kosher. Why? Because chidude kain labunu, we said that the sharp blade of the knife cut before the heat. So we see that the hitting of the with the spud comes before the heat. Almel chabot kodim. So that's different. It's a very thin knife. It's very narrow, and therefore we say that the heat is not really that hot. There's nothing really to get hot, and that's why the incision comes first. But a spud, which is thick, and when it gets really hot. How do we know what inflicted the wound first? The actual striking of the metal or the heat? Toshma, come in here. It says that the next case he gave was Lieben Spud. The next case he was Lieben Spud, Hikabai. We said that if you heated up a spud and you hit somebody with it, we say that the second thing that happened was the heat. So the first thing that happened was the wound of the stick. So we see that the wound comes before the heat. And that's why we treated Michli, because we said whatever second it takes over. So we see Chabot is first. Answer the Gemara again. Hasanami there too. Who said that you hit him? The Bezayu Mivres, you poked him with the point. And therefore, there's not much heat there at the very point. And that's why the wound is first. The Hainu Chodud. But otherwise, we don't know. Remember the question.
The heat would be at the point also.
It's not that strong. So therefore, the first thing that hurt you was the smack.